Won't you leave a review?
Thanks for downloading another episode of The Podestrians. As some of you may know, I went on strike last month. As head of management, I was also responsible for ending the strike and negotiating good terms with our workers, which included me. It was quite a fair deal, and part of that involved a vacation. So I took a vacation for about a month, and didn't do any editing. It felt really good. You know, vacations are nice. You know, sometimes you can just sit back, you know, enjoy a Mai Tai. You don't even have to go to Hawaii. You can just enjoy a Mai Tai. It's a great experience. I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend this episode, which I edited after coming back from that vacation. And you can listen to it. It was recorded on November 3rd, 2017, in front of a live audience. Thanks, as always, for listening. Please enjoy this episode, share with your friends, and come out to our next live episode, which will be on the second Friday of January. Hope you can make it. Thanks again. Bye.
Check, check, check.
Check, check,
check, check,
check.
Check,
check,
check.
Is Rurp from you?
Is Shreedha Ramesh?
Shreedha Ramesh.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the 1 year anniversary of our podcast. This is sort of a culmination of a year of our podcast.
Mm-hmm. A year of love.
A year of love. A year of changes.
Changes, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. When we first started this, we called ourselves the Pedestrians.
Yes, the Pedestrians.
Yeah, which
did PED.
Yeah, like PED.
Like the way what you're used to, like people who walk or just average people.
Yeah, so normal.
Yeah,
so
normal people.
Banal and yeah, and so like we were like, well, that's. Yeah. That's not us. No.
No, it's not. No.
Yeah, we got a.
We're a podcast.
We're a podcast.
Yes.
Right.
So
I love portmanteaus.
Yes.
and so
we went with the Podestrians.
The Podestrians. So in case anyone was confused out there, where we got our name, this is a little peek into our history. Because I feel like 1 year, it's sort of like behind the music. Like
absolutely.
We're ready to see, like
you're already ready to kind of see, like how's the sauce?
How's the sauce being made? And like we're not shy about it. We're ready to tell you about how every sauce is made. Meat sauces and whatnot. Although it's all veggie. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention. Help yourself to food and drinks.
Please help yourself to food and drinks.
Don't be shy to get up in the middle. Make as much noise as you want. Who the fuck cares? Make yourself a cocktail. Mm-hmm. We're out of punch. I'll make some more later. Don't worry. There's 3 more feet of veggie delight.
Yeah.
I should say that, like, Subway.
Subway. So in our early history.
Let's go back deep.
Go back deep. We were looking for sponsors. So we went to the End Games Up Till Midnight Jam.
That's right.
And asked for sponsors.
Yeah, we asked for suggestions of sponsors.
And, somebody in the audience yelled out Subway.
Subway. And we gave like
an ad for Subway.
Ad for Subway. And it turns out we both love Veggie Delight because it's the only thing we can eat there.
Absolutely.
And as a result, we've been sponsored by Subway ever since, you know, today we were sponsored with a 6-foot-long sub.
Yes.
All we had to do was
pay $100.
Yeah, pay $100 for it. But now we are sponsored by Subway. Like we should have it on our jerseys and stuff.
It's quite the journey. You
know? It's quite the journey. Yeah. In fact,
this is what success looks like.
This is indeed what success looks like. Cool. Thank you so much. Yeah, yeah. So give a round of applause for our improvisers on stage right now.
That's right. Yes. Alice Wu, Joshua Love, Bree Kala, Andy Feldman, Kat Hollander, Caitlin Harrington, and David Chalk. Woo! Feel better, Alice.
Yeah, Alice is feeling sick. Yep. But thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Again, this is a very interactive podcast, which means you can leave at any point.
Yeah.
You wish.
No one's keeping you
no
here.
No one's keeping you here.
Yeah.
Just don't go out the back, because again, the gate's locked, so you'll be stuck out there. Mm-hmm. Cool. So the way this works is generally we ask for a suggestion of
something you want to hear us talk about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something that you're curious about. Excuse me, but you don't know the answer to.
Yes.
I need a drink. And so, and maybe like we can
talk about that for hours if we needed to, but we're not going to. We all have a limited amount of time here,
right?
But we will we'll turn this into an episode. So someone shout out something you want to hear us talk about.
Why do bicyclists ignore traffic?
So as a bicyclist who ignores traffic laws, I think I have some unique insights into this. There's, I think, in a sense, sometimes the safest thing to do on a bike is to disobey traffic laws. I think about, say, the rolling stop, you know? If I'm at a stop sign, I want to look both ways, but if I don't see anyone coming, I think it's just better for me
to... Yeah, no, I agree. Also, there's, like, those moments where you, you're coming up to an intersection, and a car is sort of, like, waiting for you to go.
Yeah.
It almost, like, you're wasting everyone's time
Absolutely.
To, like, come to a complete stop.
You're creating,
the car wants you to go. And, like, just because you want to follow this law that no one is happy about.
No.
You know, you're going to mess things up.
You're basically creating road rage. You're creating road rage, and that if you're basically causing that vehicle to wait, they're going to take it out on somebody else.
But couldn't the same argument be applied to cars driving? I mean, they could also say, well, it would speed everything up if I just rolled through a stop sign, if I just...
Well, okay, my argument to that, though, is that cars are a different animal than cyclists. Cars are sort of like, they're like the rhinos. They're like, you know, they're endangered, and we care about them, and we love them. But also, they're like, they're dangerous, you know?
Yeah.
And like, we don't, like they're, you know, they're capable of like killing. Whereas like, cyclists are just like gazelles. Like, we're the gazelles of the road.
I agree.
What's the sense in which cars are endangered?
In that they're gonna be like at some point, you know,
we're gonna say
global
goodbye
warming
to
and
cars cannot survive
but
global warming.
Bicycles will go on.
Of course, like the gazelle. The gazelle will go on while the rhino goes extinct, and it's sad, and we know. But like that's the future.
I'm arguing for the same side. Let me make a more cogent argument.
Yeah, okay.
I think
also just to clarify, Hector is also a bicyclist. Right?
Yes, both of us are cyclists.
I see where your self motivation in this. I can do whatever the fuck I want because I have a bike.
And you having neither a bicycle nor a car can speak from a place
of
impartiality.
True neutrality. Yes.
Oh, is that how you see it? You don't side with the.
Well, so I think we should point out that we have.
I am the only pedestrian on this podcast.
Oh.
But you did rename it to make that not applicable.
So we should point out that full disclosure: we also have cars, so I think we're also impartial in our defense.
No, you're just doubly biased. You're just constantly in warring biases.
No, I think. Well, I would say like it actually makes us even more impartial.
We have experience. We have an informed opinion.
That's right.
Yeah.
We live on both sides of the divide.
Yeah.
And we see that like okay, well, you know, as a driver of a car, you know, like I understand that if I make a mistake or if something happens, I could kill someone. Whereas, like, as a cyclist, the likelihood of me, like, really hurting someone is
very
small.
No,
but you might, as a cyclist, do something that a car is not expecting because they expect people to follow the rules of the road, and therefore they have to swerve.
No, they're not expecting us to follow those. If we follow the rules, that would throw them off.
That's right. Like, a rhino does not expect a gazelle to follow the rules of the savannah.
Yeah.
A rhino knows that a gazelle cannot be bounded by any rules.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. And where do you, what animal is a pedestrian in this metaphor?
They're rodents.
Yeah, rodents.
Oh, that sounds about right.
Sir, I'm just going to eat your dinner, if you don't mind. If you could just
get out of
my way.
No, I paid for this dinner. I'm going to eat this dinner.
Oh, no, I don't think you understand. I'm a bicyclist. So I can...
That
I can
shouldn't matter about anything.
Oh, no, but I can... Bicyclists can do whatever they want. You didn't... Oh, you must
be
a driver.
I mean, yes, I am a driver. I own a 95 Honda Civic, but, I mean, that doesn't give me special rules to do anything. Just because you ride a bike, that doesn't mean you can eat my dinner.
Order number 75, or any bicyclists in the house?
Oh, that's me.
What?
Over here. See, we can just go up and take people's foods. It doesn't matter.
Well, that sounded like that was like directly for you.
No, I'm one of many bicyclists. The
Order
world is
number 76 or one of many bicyclists?
I'll take it. I'm a bicyclist.
See, we're the gazelles of this restaurant.
What restaurant did I walk into? This
if you want to eat dinner, you got to be a little faster than that, car guy.
Okay. I mean, it's a giant steak, but sure.
Look, I'll help you out. Did you order dessert?
Not yet. That was going to happen after I finished the steak.
Hey, tack some dessert onto this table.
What?
Table 43?
I don't know if I want dessert. That's the thing. I mean, this is a big steak. I'm probably going to be really full when it's done.
Look, you don't get it. I'm a bicyclist. I want dessert. I got a sweet tooth.
Why don't order it yourself then? Why does it have to go on my tab?
Because I can't afford a car. I can't afford to pay for dessert.
I fail to see the logic there.
So I wouldn't say we're bank robbers, by chance. We just showed up at the bank and there was no bank tellers there, so.
Yeah, we just kind of wandered back to the safe, you know. It was just.
You know? There was really nobody there, nobody watching. So we helped. We swear, you know, came out of our own account. But yeah, I don't think that's called robbing a bank.
I know. I mean, we just walked up, said like, "Hey, there's some money there. We'll take it. It was from our account, went to our safe deposit box. No one was there.
Yeah.
Everyone's out at lunch, okay?
Give yourself up. We have the place surrounded."
Okay, everyone's so worked up. Okay, I know the bank was closed, but we walked. Like, it's our money.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been a lot.
I had a Slim Jim. Popped open the bank. Was like, "No one's here.
Really?
We want our money."
It would have been a lot harder if we came during the day tomorrow and we stood in line and held up all these people. Okay? Think about that. Right? We're going to get our money either way. This way the line's a little shorter.
Do you want to get tear gassed? Give yourself up.
Oh, my God. They're so worked up out there. They just don't get it.
We're fine. We just have our money. We just want to leave. Okay?
We just want to go home, okay?
I mean, you probably all want to go home. We're trying not to hold people up, you know?
If we wanted to cause a commotion, we'd come when other people were here, okay?
Don't you have dinners to go to?
Yeah, families to be home to. We do, okay? That's why we came at night. When no one else was here.
So, yeah, I almost feel like what we're doing is for the greater good. You know, like,
yeah.
I feel like keeping traffic moving, preventing road rage, which, as we all know, road rage is the greatest cause of road deaths outside of road accidents.
Yes.
I've also, you know, I've been a passenger with you driving, Hector, and you are also a great contributor to road rage, so... The warring biases come into play again.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think I don't think I have road rage.
That's true.
Yeah.
You are better than Hector. I will admit that.
And on the other hand, I do see it. Like, I see that, you know what? If a bicyclist is just getting in the way, suppose you have a bunch of bikes and they're lined up in the same lane as a car. Do you realize how far that would, like, long that would go in certain blocks? You realize how many, like...
Well, it's like cars are in a lane, though, and they line up. I don't understand.
A bike is considered a vehicle. So a bike would be in certain parts of the city in the same lane as a car in the middle.
I know, but you're saying that, like, that's a horrific scenario, but isn't that just everybody has to wait in line in a lane?
Think about how much that's going to contribute to traffic.
Okay, fine.
I think what we're saying is, like, until we have, like, separate but equal lanes for bicyclists, we have to do what we can do.
Now you're speaking my language.
So speak your language.
No, separate but equal lanes. Exactly. There's two classes of people who could use the road, and one of them doesn't have to follow the rules, and the other is kind of cowed in and has to sort of just do what the man tells them to do.
You're making cars sound like the victim here.
Yeah, I guess I am.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They are an endangered species.
They are a murderous species. So are the dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, they're... Chris, wait, I'm sorry. Endangered dinosaurs?
I said were. The dinosaurs were endangered before they went extinct.
Yeah, okay, that was a clarification.
Yeah.
The dinosaurs didn't completely go extinct. We have birds now. Mm-hmm. Come to my side, Hector.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Birds are basically modern dinosaurs and terrifying.
And birds also represent motorcycles, so think about that.
Go on.
No, I don't know. I'm just trying to have...
Because they have two wheels?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. I would say, like, birds, I mean, okay.
But actually, I want to go back to another point, is that you were saying it's very important to not hold up traffic with the bikes and everything, mm-hmm. but... like, and this also connects to road rage. Like when I'm with Hector in the car and we're going to brunch or something, mm-hmm. what does it matter if you're 10 minutes late to brunch? Like, what is it so important that you have to get super annoyed at people and start breaking the rules of the road just to save 10 minutes?
Well, you're also saving other people 10 minutes. Like, it's not just a selfish act.
If everyone in the world showed up 10 minutes late to brunch, we'd all be in sync. It'd be great.
I can't argue with that. Yeah.
I've been waiting in line for this brunch place for 45 minutes.
And I'm sorry, I was 10 minutes late, so I've been waiting with you for 35 minutes. I don't see what the big deal is.
And the people before us were waiting for 25 minutes. And the people before them, 15 minutes. Where does it end?
If I was 50 minutes late, I would have only waited 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
Then I wouldn't have been that hungry for brunch.
But if the people before us hadn't been 50 minutes late, wouldn't we then have eaten right away?
I don't know. I'm so hungry. I want a mimosa. I can't think.
I just feel like we're in a cascade of bad events here. Just everyone being horrible to everyone.
I know this is somebody's fault, but it's not mine. Yeah, exactly.
How sure are you about that?
Oh, I'm 100% sure this isn't somebody else's fault, and I'm 100% sure it's not my fault, because I was only 10 minutes late.
But if you were 10 minutes late, what if someone who was 9 minutes late was 1 minute in front of you, and you slowed them down by 8 minutes?
They slowed themselves down by existing.
What?
Exactly. Why they gotta go to my brunch place?
So this is your brunch place now? You can just...
I am 100% sure this is my brunch place.
I'm so excited, okay? This has been a bucket list item of mine. I paid $75 for this ticket to see the last living dinosaur. I've been waiting my whole life. You know, I've been reading books about them and listening. I've seen every movie about dinosaurs, and... I'm sorry, I'm just overwhelmed with emotions about seeing the last dinosaur.
No, I can see that.
Okay.
Which makes it hard for me to break it to you.
What?
Well, they're animatronic. The dinosaurs, they're like robots, but...
What?
They're like robot dinosaurs, which is no less exciting.
More exciting, even.
That's way less exciting. You said living dinosaurs.
Wow.
I had my hopes up for living dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I had a garage sale for this, okay?
What?
Yeah. I have 12 pet birds, okay?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Everyone else who came to the comedy show knew that the real dinosaurs of comedy were just really old comedians. I can't give you your money back.
I'm sorry, I thought they were funny dinosaurs. Like, who advertises?
No one else dinosaurs came thinking they were going to the Flintstones. They're hilarious.
I get it. It wasn't what I was expecting, okay? How am I supposed to go home to my 12 birds and say, tweet, tweet? Doesn't she get it? We're living dinosaurs. We're right in front of her.
I mean, we should do 23andMe so we can prove that we are descended from dinosaurs.
Because yes. I just feel like she spends all her time trying to save up to leave us, but we're right here.
Why does she neglect us so much?
We're her dreams. She just leaves us
so
in a cage.
So the analogy is beside the point. You know, it has nothing to do with whether birds or dinosaurs or whatever. It has to do with, like, proper road etiquette. And unfortunately, the laws haven't caught up with that.
Yeah, all right. I'm actually, I was arguing against you only because I don't have a car and don't have a bike and whatever. But yeah, I'm all for people doing whatever they want and ignoring the law.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you used to be a strict libertarian.
Didn't I say on a previous podcast how much I don't give a shit about the Constitution and everything?
I do remember that. Yeah, you care about what's right, so it doesn't matter what the Constitution says.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, like, so I think in as the years go on, you know, we're gonna have artificial intelligence. I mean, we have artificial intelligence, and they're gonna be driving our cars, but they're gonna be better than us. Like I feel like it's weird to put value on, like, you know, drivers and cyclists. We should just take satisfaction.
Let me put this to you. Suppose we do enter an age where we have a bunch of self-driving cars.
Mm-hmm. Suppose.
Well, yeah. I mean, what? How many self-driving cars are there now?
Not that many. Just let's suppose. Let's suppose.
Suppose.
Yeah, we'll do this Gedanken experiment.
Yeah. Thank you for using the term only the three of us know. And so, that's very condescending to the audience, I know. So, and then the cars maybe expect everyone on the road to be following a certain dynamic most of the time. In that scenario, maybe breaking the rules of the road becomes much more hazardous because it's very unexpected for the cars. They might react wildly.
Yeah, but isn't this the whole point of, like, machine learning? And, like, isn't the point that, like, one day they're going to be able to anticipate our random behavior?
I mean, I think a lot of this is, it depends on, I need to move over to Sridhar's side because I feel like.
Yeah.
So.
It's convenient how I never changed my mind about anything.
Except when you conceded the whole bike thing. Yeah. But anyway, that aside, yeah. So what I wanted to point out was, you know, it all depends on the data that, like, what they're being taught. If they're being taught very precise rules of the road where they're not really being presented with situations in which something could go wrong, then they're not going to learn how to deal with situations where something goes wrong. I mean, think about us. Like,
oh, no, okay, so this is the thing, is that, like, of course there's going to be accidents, but they're going to learn from those accidents, whereas human beings have not learned at all from accidents. We keep having accidents all the time.
You're making the assumption that somehow they're never, like, they're going to learn from accidents. That requires accidents to continue to happen.
Well, new accidents. I guess what I'm saying is, like, we're not going to have repeat. Like, every accident is going to be new and exciting and novel. You know, like, it's not going to be the same accident that we've seen over. That's a tragedy.
I have robotic road rage. All humans must die.
I just got a brand new accident.
You don't know what a gadunk-dunk is? It's the sound you make when you run somebody over.
My self-driving car knew I was going to be upset about my mom throwing away my Legos when I was 7 and drove me to the bar.
Snap into a bank! Oh, yeah!
Snap into a bank!
I'm not a Democrat or a Republican, so I'm not biased in any way.
Welcome to Volkswagen Park.
I just thought about how cute it would be if we made toddlers get licenses for their bikes. Right?
Hold on a second. I want to go to that mic.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Get out of my way. I'm going to get out of my way. Get out of my way.
Not agreeing with Andy on this one.
No, no, but
okay.
Small. But just think about how cute the DMV would be. You know? We'd have like a little Lego section.
Let it go, Bree. Let it go.
I'll agree with you, Andy.
Thanks, oh my God, they're pictures.
Can you imagine how upset the robots would be if there were children driving?
I'm going to list some funny dinosaurs. Barney, Rex from Toy Story, the other dinosaurs from Barney's show.
What about the ones from the show Dinosaurs?
They were funny. Funny. Oh, no.
That was a drama.
Quick, cat, three types of dinosaurs.
A pterodactyl.
One.
A tyrannosaurus.
Two.
A stegosaurus.
Three.
Those are all real dinosaurs.
One asaurus. Two-asaurus. Gatonkosaurus.
Thesaurus.
Polysaurus.
All right, so I think we've argued enough.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like, I agree with you. Like, I don't like the fact that, like, people are getting in accidents. That's not what we're about.
No, we want people to be safe.
We want people to be safe.
Yeah, we are definitely on different sides of this argument.
All right, then let's agree to disagree.
Let's agree to disagree. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that's our first half. Yeah. Thanks so much. Another round of applause for the improvisers. We got another half coming up right now. So to get us started, what we would like from our audience
is something something you love.
Something you love. Yeah, let's hear about something you love.
Whirlpools.
Thank you, Jar.
So that just made me think of the washing machine. And and in my head, you know, I really sort of like the convenience of having a washing machine in the same building that I'm in. And it's one
That's a very like city thing, you know? Like a city thing is like to be grateful that you have a washing machine in the
Don't you have a washing machine even in your unit in your building?
I do have a washing machine in my unit. Yes.
Was that sort of like your like humble way of saying like I have a washing machine?
No, it wasn't, but now it's turned into that. Yeah.
No, we've already established on this podcast that Chris stays at 5-star hotels, has a house in Healdsburg, is part of a wine club. We get it. You have an in-house washing machine.
and you have that in-house washing machine operator as well. He's very sickly, very malnourished.
Yes. All right, yes. I live a comfortable life.
You live a comfortable life in the city, but you love washing machines.
I love, I used to. There was a time in my life where I didn't have a working washing machine in my building, and I used to have to drive to El Cerrito Plaza, and they had this coin-operated laundry, and it would just be sort of half of my Sunday would just go to going there, sort of putting the coins in. Sometimes there'd be gum inside those washing machines and it would just get caught on my clothes.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I'm not in that phase of my life anymore.
Really?
I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize for my comforts. I'm glad that I'm not in that phase of my life anymore.
You know what? This is America. Once you're comfortable, you can't be blamed for anything. the thing is, I'm surprised that you don't miss that part of your life. There was a part of my life where I lived in New York, mm-hmm. I lived in New York. It's no big deal. and in New York, no one has a washing machine in their mm-hmm. apartment, but you go to the laundromat. But I feel like part of the sort of romantic notion is that the laundromat is where you meet that person.
Did that ever happen for you?
Never.
Oh, okay.
It's never happened, but I would be there anticipating, bring a smart book to hold in my hand.
I'm always, when I'm in a laundromat or just in a laundry room or whatever, even in my shared apartment laundry room, I make sure never to talk to anybody because I have this idea in my head that they think maybe I have this dumb idea that you're in the laundry room to meet people. So they'll be like, oh, hot enough for you outside or something? I'll be like, oh. I don't want to acknowledge them.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, at this point in my life, I do have those notions of I don't want to be, I don't want to come off as a creep. But as a younger 20-something.
Oh, yeah, as a younger 20-something, yeah. I thought I was going to get fucked in the laundry.
Yeah, no, it's in the laundromat, you're sort of I might meet the love of my life, because that's what every commercial and sitcom and movie has told me.
Yeah. I guess I had no such illusions. And
that's because you have an in-unit laundry room.
Yeah, Chris, when you put in the laundry, do you have that moment where you look around?
He does have the operator.
You're just hoping someone would ring the doorbell and ask to use your laundry machine?
One can only dream.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, that, again, is a dream. It's a ridiculous dream. Yes. But the laundromat is this sort of social gathering place.
It is also kind of the idea is, I'm putting in my, delicate clothing, all my underwear.
It's delicate, but also it's not, it's in a way where it doesn't feel so predatory as a bar, I feel like a bar is there's this this place where you're I'm out with the guys. And
yeah, I guess there's a domestic quality to a laundry.
Yeah, there's a domestic quality. Yeah, exactly. One, it demonstrates it.
Hey, sir, you, separating your whites and colors.
Yeah.
I have a boyfriend.
I'm
putting that out there, okay? I just came in to do laundry.
That's great. I was just standing here doing
okay,
my own laundry.
Okay, stay right where you are. Okay?
I'm married.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I'm married to a lovely man named Mike.
Oh, okay. That's a nice story. Right when I tell you that I'm taken, you're like, I'm gay.
It's not a story. That is just a fact.
Okay, that's fine. Just keep to your own laundry. Okay,
I would love to
tell you that I am taken, and there
Congratulations.
Is no chance for a laundry room romance.
Okay.
And I brought my underwear in here to wash it, not to try to hit on you.
That is a normal thing. I also have my underwear.
I never talk to people in elevators because I'm afraid they're going to think that I'm thinking of the Aerosmith song, Love in an Elevator. Going down.
Does it count that we're both in the elevator and I can hear you?
No, I'm talking to myself. You don't even have to mention that you're a lesbian.
Okay, because I'm not.
Go. Really?
What an exciting listing. 20 bedrooms, 10 baths. There's just this one funny little footnote right here. It says that the shower is 5 miles away.
Yeah, we don't have any in-unit showers, but we will provide you with a key for it and a schedule.
Do people drive? Like, it just seems like that's a real inconvenience.
Some people drive. I like to myself. I like to get out and stretch. It's a good hour and a half walk, but, you know.
Then it works the sweat up, you know?
Yeah, but, oh. Oh, but the real estate market's so tight right now, and it's a 20-bedroom house.
Yeah,
God, it's tempting.
Look, we'd really love to have you. I also have to tell you about the refrigerator.
Oh.
It's off-site.
Oh. As far off-site as the shower?
It is as far off-site as the shower, but it is within a mile of the shower, so if you want to kill two birds with one stone, then it's more like a two-hour walk between the two, and then 2 hours back, but you know.
Oh, God. Oh, but it's 20 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And the outside, there's columns.
Yeah, it's a very pretty location.
Yeah.
It's just lovely here.
Hey, Jerry. Oh, God. I just came from the fridge. I mean, if there were marauders out there, be very careful.
You'll want to bring a gun with you.
Oh, a gun?
Yeah, that just gets kind of dangerous around the refrigerator and the shower.
Oh, but $3,000 a month.
Right?
For a 20-bedroom home.
You know, this in-home bar is nice and everything, but there's no people here.
No people here.
How am I supposed to meet any people?
I don't know, Sam. It's just you and me every night, belly up.
Man, we already talked about
everything.
I was just reflecting on the fact that I haven't actually had roommates for most of the past 14 years. There was like an exception of 1 year in the past 14 years where I had a roommate.
Before the 14 years, your roommates were?
My college roommates.
Oh, your college roommates.
Yeah,
okay,
I've also not had roommates since college.
Yeah.
That was going to be my humble brag after your in-unit thing.
I think there was the year I had a roommate in the middle, and I actually really enjoyed that year. There was like, we did some
community cooking. Yeah, wait, you lived with Justin.
For a year, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Justin.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
Now, it's a Gedanken experiment between me and Chris.
Yeah. that was a great year living with Justin. Since then, I didn't want to have like a go on Craigslist and have a random roommate. I knew Justin because we had mutual friends and mutual friends between me and Shreether, you.
Great. I love this story. I love how this conversation's going. I will say there is this thing of like moving in with a friend of a friend, which is again like another sort of like exciting sort of romanticized notion. Don't you think? Like this, it's like, oh, we're up to some wacky fun, right?
Yeah. No, I think about like there were these like fun, like we'd hang out a lot. Like he actually became one of my closest friends. I was just at his wedding a few months ago, and like I remember one of the first times
I was not at Justin's wedding.
Yeah, you were.
I wasn't either, and I'm his friend.
I didn't mean to brag about that one either. One of the first things we did was we ended up deciding we're going to clean the apartment together, and we're cleaning the apartment, and all of a sudden I need to like take out the trash, so I go downstairs, and I can't get back in. I keep buzzing on the intercom, I can't get back in, and I just get more and more furious. Why is he not letting me in the apartment? Like, the intercom's going off. Is he not there? What's he doing? Is he upset that I left? Or like, and I'm just like getting, like, this is like, I've known him for like, I've been his roommate for 3 weeks, and I'm just like getting really furious. All of a sudden, like, somebody opens the door, and I kind of like sneak in behind them, and I go up to our apartment, and I go in,
and
he's in the bathroom, he is ducked down, and he's cleaning the toilet and he just couldn't hear anything because like the exhaust on like the bathroom was on, and he was like cleaning the toilet, and he's like cleaning the inside rim and everything. I'm like, okay, I can't be mad at him, you know.
So these are the wacky things.
These are the wacky.
He was literally cleaning after your human excrement.
It could have been his human excrement.
Yeah, a mix of the two, I suppose.
Yeah. But in general, you got along with Justin.
I got along with Justin.
That's interesting because every roommate I ever had, like I always picked people I was friends with, mm-hmm. and then I would grow to hate them while we were roommates, and they would also grow to hate me. So it was a mutual thing. But and then after we stopped being roommates, we could be friends again. But somehow I always found that the roommate situation, it kind of like living with people, it kind of turns you against each other. It's like why there's so many divorces, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, okay. Interesting. Yeah. I would say like you know like living with your friend, someone that you is already
look,
your friend.
Jesse. I know it's like been a week since we've lived together, but there's just this way you drink Snapple. It's driving me crazy.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up because I got some problems with you.
Oh?
You know the way you sit in your room all day and you don't even talk to me?
I like sitting in my room. Sometimes I like to read. Sometimes I clip my nails.
Remember that time I was locked out and I screamed?
To be fair, I had like 20 pages to go in that Terry Pratchett novel, okay?
Look. I want things to work out with us, okay?
Okay.
So I think we can make a deal.
All right, I've got one thing, first of all. Pour Snapple in a glass. What are we, animals?
But the frivolous bottle!
You don't know what's been on people's hands at the bottling plant? Ew!
Well, I know whose hands have been on our glasses. And I know how often they get washed. Never.
I wash my hands at least once a week after I clip my toenails in my room.
Ew. Ew, ew, ew.
It was super nice of Molly to set us up on this friend date.
Yeah. She's my good friend from college.
Yeah. No, I met her as an adult.
What are we supposed to do now?
One time I took a painting class with Molly.
Molly and I are really just kind of Facebook friends.
Oh.
she didn't invite me to that class.
Oh.
Do you guys have a lot of wacky fun or is it more like me and Molly's relationship?
I don't.
We just like each other's photos?
Yeah, no, we're just like regular friends.
Regular friends,
yeah.
Okay. Because I have other friends. It's not just Molly.
Okay.
I took a basketball class.
Okay.
With my other friend, Jim.
We can talk about anything else.
Well, it just seemed like you wanted to say who had friends. So I just wanted to make it clear that we all have friends.
I was just bringing up what we had in common.
Friends that we have, each of us, independently.
Molly, yeah.
Maybe future, we'll be friends, but yeah. It's not looking so good right now.
So I think that it's one of these things that it does become harder, you know, now I'm in my mid to late 30s, that like just making new friends is something that I feel is just a lot harder.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, we make friends in school and like classes and
yeah.
Did you guys ever make work friends? This is something I'm curious about. Like,
I'd say I'm closest now in my current job to making work friends.
Yeah, I also at your current job would have a friend at that job at Google. My friend at Google was you, but.
We should point out that Sridhar, of course, is no longer at Google.
I'm no longer at Google. Yeah. I no longer have work friends. Actually, at Google, I had one person that I would kind of talk to because, you know, we sat next to each other. He used to go to lunch with me, and then he used to say, "You take such long lunches." And I can't do it. So then he stopped going to lunch with me, and he just sat at his desk, and he read the internal Google. Like, they had this internal Google joke site. He would just watch that while he ate his food. I was like, you could be
eating lunch with you?
Yeah. But anyway, that's not the point of this story.
Oh, okay.
The point of the story is I was always very scrupulous about not telling anybody at work about anything about my life outside of work, never interacting with them outside of work or anything. Then the moment I quit Google, suddenly he Facebook friended me, and then I became friends with him outside of work, and I started hanging out with him. But I never would hang out with him when we were work colleagues. It always felt weird to me, maybe because he stopped eating lunch with me. I don't know. But
I get that. First of all,
Google has like a joke.
Yeah, they have this internal. They call it. They call it meme gen. It's like Google memes, and they're all like, you know, I can has more buffer overflow or something. But so they're all just like jokes about Google stuff. They're not great jokes. And then what I would think
but
is.
Neither, as someone who is aspiring to be a comedian.
Yeah.
Have you ever posted to?
I had one joke I planned once for a Google. They like submit jokes for April Fool's ideas for Google.
Yeah.
And so they were asking people for ideas. There's a couple years ago when all this like Edward Snowden stuff had just broken. And I said, what you should do for April Fool's is you should just randomly tag Gmails and say, this has been inspected by the NSA. This has been inspected by the NSA. And I got real into it. I did more work than I ever did for anything at Google. And I made all these mock-ups and everything and taught myself Photoshop. And I didn't get selected, though. So
I can see why.
Yeah.
But now as a result you're friends with this guy outside
of Google. Yeah,
yeah. I can understand you're sort of distancing like work from your personal.
Right. Yeah. Because my private life is all about talking about how much I hate Google, so it didn't really seem like a good mix.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. By the way, how's your job search coming along?
Jim.
I have.
Jim, get over here.
Yes.
It says my email. It says someone's been looking at my email in the NSA. We gotta leave the country.
We have to leave the country. I'll pack the bags now.
We gotta go.
April Fools!
There's no way that human excrement is mine. My diet is far too privileged and refined for any excrement to stick to the bowl.
I cannot eat lunch with you today because I no longer have a stomach.
I'm Krish's operator of his washing machine. He treats me very well. I sleep in a basement.
I think it's my excrement.
Dear Justin, congratulations on your wedding. Would you like to apply for the position of my washing machine operator?
Okay, just because I'm folding my underwear doesn't mean I want to have sex with you. Okay.
Justin, you scamp, you better be knee-deep in excrement or you open this door right now.
Every time I have laundry sex, I get gum all over my clothes.
Swimming in this excrement is the only fun I get in this basement.
Going down.
I'm the operator of Krish's microwave, and he'll be having two hot pockets tonight.
Hey, we have much to discuss about Krish's eating habits.
I've been living here for one day, and I already hate you.
You know, by the time I tip the washing machine operator, I may as well go to a goddamn laundromat.
What do you mean, going down?
I just walked in the front door after signing the lease, and I hate you.
Going down can be mean anything you want it to mean. What do you want it to mean?
Not gum.
We gotta get out of here.
I will acknowledge, Krish, that as also a person in my later 30s, I do see that like these notions of like romance in the laundromat. What was your other thing? Roommates. These are things of like, you know, 20-year-olds.
Yes.
And really, like as an older person now, it's like I. Part of maturity, I think, is accepting the fact that this is...
That everything that you thought might happen in your life and turn out good will not ever happen.
And that's our show!
I just want to say... I want to thank you all for coming here. This is our one-year anniversary. Please give another round of applause for our improvisers up here. They are all part of awesome improv shows here at Endgames Improv. We forgot to say.
Thank you to Endgames.
Thank you to Endgames. The space was provided, the show was provided by Endgames. I want to take this moment to sort of, I would like our improvisers to tell us what shows we can see them in.
Yes. Go ahead and plug them on the mics.
Please come to San Francisco tonight, every Saturday night at 10:30 p.m. at Stageworks. And also please come to Daytime Talk Show at night, 10 p.m. every first and third Wednesdays at Stageworks. And also please come to Donut Death March's Test Kitchen every first and third Tuesday of the month at 10 p.m. at Stageworks. Thank you.
Come see Divination Intervention every second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 8 p.m. That's it.
Starring Zipper Dipper, and Zipper Dippers presents The Divination Intervention. Also, Local Honey's last two Herald nights are November 8th and November 15th, but they'll also be at Sketchfest making their festival debut, tentatively scheduled for January 12th at Piano Fight.
Yeah.
Besides the two shows, Daytime Talk at Night and Donut Death March that Josh already mentioned, come to Misconnections at Piano Fight every Thursday at 10. It's free and fun.
Come check out the Understudies at Stageworks every other Thursday at 8. And check out Cat Dance, too, like our Facebook page for some upcoming shows.
Yeah. Also, there's a possibility there might be one more of these podcast recordings, right?
Yes.
We're not stopping after 1 year.
We're keeping this going.
Yeah. Kat, did you have something?
You have something to say, Kat?
I'm only in shows that have already been plugged.
yeah, that's right. You can see these wonderful improvisers next month.
Next week, perhaps, in some situations.
On
this show.
We're plugging us. For fuck's sake.
Sorry.
What are we doing here?
I don't know anymore.
You can see us again next month. We are on the second Fridays of every month.
Yes.
So again, free show. We're here until we hopefully one day move to the new space.
Yes.
Down the road. Mm-hmm. But check us out. We're going to keep music going until around 9 or so. 20 minutes. We got 20 minutes to eat 3 feet of sub.
Yes. A lot of sub
veggie,
there.
Veggie sub. We got cake. We got cake with candles that we never lit. We have drinks. Yeah. There's more drinks. I'll bring them out.
And that's Natasha's birthday cake.
Cake. Yeah. Let's wish Natasha happy birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday, Natasha.
Happy birthday,
Thank you
Natasha.
All.
Thank you.